2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
DFS Army Week in Review breakdown. So I'm getting together here with my man Cash Cag, who literally crushed it this week, week one, and crushes it every fucking week. So, you know, this is who we want to hear from as well. And we're going to break down our Geeks pick sheets, our Kegs pick sheets, and then our cash lineups. We're going to talk about the strategy we came up with in both kind of putting the sheets together, how we do it, what we're looking for, and then how we put our cash game lineup together and talk about the thought process behind each player in the group. So let's just roll right into this. No one likes to look back for too long, but we do think it's important to do that if you're going to get better at daily fantasy sports and daily fantasy football. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Keg. What's up, my man?
What's up, man? Yeah, definitely a great Sunday. But it's extremely important to always look back at your process, at your picks, evaluate them for yourself. It's never fun to do, especially if you're having a bad week. But good or bad, it's a must in your process. If you're not going back and looking at what you're doing, you're not doing things right, because you're not going to get better. And so you got to look at those picks and see what we did. So I'm glad to do these, and it'll help in my process going forward as well. So I'm pretty pumped about it. So I think we'll start here with the DraftKings sheet. I'll pull mine up real quick, kind of go over the picks and talk about things that I think we got right, that we got wrong, maybe why. First at quarterbacks, Mahomes, you know, had him at 4-star, you know, he crushed. I was a little worried he got hurt in that first quarter, but, he ended up going back in there and things worked out well. So you could have paid up for him. I didn't in my cash lineup, but definitely an easy pay up.
I want to say, in hindsight, you know, week one, there was a lot of kind of easy plays where we didn't have to squeeze a lot of, we weren't dying for salary savings. Definitely, you know, a lot of weeks, Mahomes, tough to pay up for him, even in cash. But week one, you know, in hindsight, totally cash playable.
Yes.
And obviously, as you have marked, cash play.
Yeah, it was. In hindsight, probably could have put him in there pretty easily with all the value that we had. And then again, for DraftKings, I had 4-star on Wentz. I thought he was a better value than Winston on DraftKings. And so even though I had Winston as a cash play, I thought it'd be different with that offense, but Winston still showed he's still the same damn Winston, and he likes to throw pick sixes.
Yeah, so, I think we talked about on the Wolfpack pod that while everybody kind of thought Winston was a good play, you know, why pay up 6,600, especially when on FanDuel he was exactly the same price?
Yeah, and so I ended up throwing Wentz in my cash lineup on DraftKings and then Winston on FanDuel just because of the price, how close they were. Sometimes I like to do that because you're not all in on one guy. I didn't do so well on FanDuel. I did okay in head-to-heads, but my cash games having Winston kind of hurt a little bit. But looking back at that play, looks like he's going to be the same old guy. So we got to have some caution there when we look at playing him in cash games going forward, especially if he's going to be only 600 less than Mahomes. Probably should have been more GPP on DraftKings. Lamar Jackson.
Bit of a miss there and just not really paying very close attention.
It was. Yeah, that was definitely a miss for, especially on DraftKings. That probably should have been more GPP. Yeah, so I'm not going to go through every single one of these picks, but those were the ones that highlighted. You know, Jackson killed it, man. He really showed his arm off. Again, it was against Miami, but he looked really good. Probably could have played him in cash, but at 6K. But I feel like you played wins in cash, you were fine. You were going to cash.
I'm just looking across your entire list, and every one of those quarterbacks, I mean, except for maybe Nick Foles, who got hurt, but every one of those quarterbacks.
I mean, I don't remember. I have to look exactly what Brissett's last line was, but I think he did pretty well for 4.4K.
I can't imagine for 4,400 he didn't do just fine.
Yeah, so it was just a price point play. But yeah, there was, again, Wentz was the play. The big miss was Winston. Going through running backs, I had 2 5-star plays. Both were Cook and CMC. So those were kind of just plug and play for me for cash games. Even paying up, we had the salary and going down to Wentz, you had to spend it somewhere.
If I look at your list, just as I'm looking at it, mm-hmm. I mean, it's so clear that McCaffrey, Cook, and Carson jump out the most, core all, you know, the higher star plays. I mean, it was a pretty easy approach as far as what you were going to use in your cash lineup with that trio. I mean, it's very clearly laid out on your sheet, and we'll see what we get to, what my sheet says when we get to that one.
Yeah, that's why I try not to have too many core plays unless I'm like really dead set on that guy but I don't feel like I had too many misses at running back. I know Fournette didn't do all that well. I have him on here. Yeah. Adam is GPP just because I was a little worried, but he was with Foles getting hurt, that kind of hurt him a little bit. And that whole game flow was just nuts.
Now to the tougher section.
Yeah. So down here at wide receiver, man, if you notice, I have no 5-star plays in my wide receiver. They're all 4-star plays. Going down here to the 4-star ones, Boyd did all right. Godwin got that late touchdown that salvaged him. Lockett didn't do that great, but there was nobody that I absolutely loved. Westbrook, came down to Samuel. This probably should have, with how chalk he was, I had no problem marking him as a cash play. But I kind of got off him a little bit from the video that we did together, and we were kind of talking through him. It was kind of like, you know what? I feel a little bit better with Westbrook in that situation against that defense, and he was only like 500 more, 600 more. And so that's where I went instead of Samuel. And just from that last pod that we did, I was already on the edge, and that kind of pushed me a little bit.
We talked about it on the Wolfpack, man.
We did.
Yeah, that Wolfpack. That shitty fucking chalk wide receiver is going to burn you every time.
So even in cash games, you know, even if it was chalk, if there's a guy around him that has still a little shaky, but maybe it's going to be less owned, you know, even though Westbrook was pretty high owned and a lot of people ran both of them, I thought there's other ways to go. When we get to the cash lineup,
you'll see what I did with my cash lineup there too. And unfortunately, all right, well, we'll see. Y'all.
So
we'll
get to that. Yeah. Down here, we did have Trey Quinn actually was pretty nice. He scored 13.4 DraftKings points. So he was 1% owned.
And really was. You have Sammy Watkins on your list, which was one of the plays of the week. So, I mean, good find there.
You know, yeah, he made it. I had him and Watkins. I had a 2-star because you never know. It definitely helped that Hill was out, but he had 2 of his big catches before Hill was even ruled out. I mean, he was the obvious to me pivot. If you were stacking up that game and not going to the chalkier Hill, always look for the other wide receiver. We talked about that in the Wolfpack as well. You know, it's just same thing with like Julio Jones. You go down to Ridley, it's just easy. You just take him out and put the other guy in. He's usually cheaper and they have the ceiling. But yeah, he absolutely crushed. He had almost 50 DraftKings points. It was insane. But, you know, wide receiver wasn't great. One guy that I didn't touch on, you know, we're talking about Wentz and where he's going to go. Well, freaking Jackson went deep twice, 2 big bombs, and holy crap, he went off for almost 50 DraftKings points as well. I didn't have him on the sheet. There's just so many weapons that Philly has. It's hard to pinpoint exactly where they went. But in hindsight, probably should have put a few of those in there and talked about them and their upside and whatnot. And even though I don't know where it's going to go, I should definitely put some of those guys on the sheet so they can make some people's player pools. So I'll have to do that going forward. Then here down at tight end, I was talking to you before we got on here.
I mean, you had Evan Ingram.
I had Ingram in my catch lineup. I took him out, and I even tried to push on the Wolfpack to play him over Henry in cash just because of he's only $900 more and what he did last year. And then on top of it, you know, he's basically their number 2 wide receiver behind Shepard, and they're going to be playing from behind. And it just, I don't know, it just felt more comfortable to do. And then I end up just going the other way. I went Ingram and everything else, which is fantastic, but I cash in my cash games, but it would have been nice to have Ingram there in my cash games. So I felt pretty good about that. Ertz didn't have a great game, so having him down at 3 stars, I kind of feel good about that. Kelsey had a pretty crap game. I think he only had like 11 DraftKings points. But
Kelsey shouldn't have had a bad game, but
he... No. Yeah. No, Watkins did everything there. And
Mahomes
missed him for an easy touchdown in the end zone. That would have changed a bunch right there. He probably would have been up to 17, 18. You've been happy with him. And he was wide open. He missed him. So I don't really hate everything that's there. I mean, that's for tight end. And then down in defense, instead of the Bucs, should have put San Francisco. You know, we're going to have a guy like, you know, Carson.
As I go to check mine and see if the Bucs were on it, no.
So I should have had San Francisco in that set of the Bucs. I was just looking for some cheap defenses like that, and so I picked the wrong one there. I just figured that Garoppolo would be a little more crazy than our boy there, but no. The Eagles kind of sucked. Ravens did real well. I mean, that was the chalk defense. They scored like they were supposed to. Only 13, though, which is pretty insane. Like 59 again, to 7.
I want to point out, you know, it's once again a reminder that paying up on defense is just, it's too fucking volatile for cash games. You pay up and you're wrong. So this is a spot where you need to say, YOLO, I'm not paying up. I don't give a fuck.
And it's like, if I have the money and I like the rest of my lineup, I have no problem doing it. But I'm not putting a defense in and going to build around my defense.
No.
I see what I have left, and then I kind of look around and say, well, that defense I can see that I have take, you know, upside for turnovers, and I'll plug them in. I mean, that's really all you're looking for is from some sacks and some turnovers, and you don't know if they're going to get them. So don't build around it. So, yeah, overall, there's a few things. I should have put some Philly guys in there, I think. I felt good about tight end. Again, wide receiver, I probably should have went back, messed with Samuel a little bit after the Wolfpack pod because, again, that kind of got me off him a little bit. Yeah, and then running backs, I felt, again, two core plays were spot on there. And then, again, Winston and thinking about how volatile that situation was, probably should have been more of a GPP, especially on DraftKings, to just with
The salary level.
Salary level. It should have been more GPP and then pushed everyone more to Wentz that way. But hopefully the 4 stars kind of pushed more people to that. And I in our channel, I kind of talked to him that, hey, that was your cash play on DraftKings. And then on FanDuel, I kind of said Winston just because of the similar price. And I don't like to be all in on a quarterback if I'm kind of unsure. And splitting them that way with the salary is one way to do it. So there's definitely a few misses there. But overall, I was pretty happy with it.
Why don't you pop on my FanDuel sheet since we just did your DraftKings one, and we'll get a different feel.
Fantastic.
Here.
Yeah.
I might as well just go at it that way. So, All right. So, you know, here's my sheet for the week. Obviously we both did FanDuel and DraftKings, right? And right off the bat, at the quarterback position, you know, oh, Jared Goff, why you do me like that? Right. So, you know, Goff was a pretty popular kind of projection this week, popular game. They scored a lot of points. It's just the running game. And I didn't expect that to happen with Gurley sort of hobbled. So, you know, shit happens. You've got Mahomes up there. Carson Wentz, we talked about him all week as a really, really solid cash play. Wasn't quite thinking of him as the tournament play that he wound up being because I didn't think Washington was going to be able to score enough to really force Wentz to get to his peak. But, you know, it's a reminder that, you know what, if a good team is kind of taking on and they're at home and they had a high projected team total, fuck it, just play the quarterback sometimes. You see the miss there with Jameis Winston. On FanDuel, I think he was still a good play. It didn't work, but I think he was a good play. It was cheap enough. I told you I didn't use Winston on DraftKings because the salary was silly. And I'm sure it's too close to Mahomes. A couple other names I liked a lot. I mean, Lamar Jackson was one of my favorites of the week. Talked about him all week. Talked about him all offseason, really, how I think Lamar Jackson is basically Pat Mahomes. Not Pat Mahomes. He's really like Michael Vick better. So I really like Lamar Jackson, and he crushed it. I talked here about stacking him up with potentially Andrews. That was about the tight end Andrews, and that stack was fucking bananas. So if you look at the notes there, it says stack him up with tight end Andrews. That was his favorite wide receiver or his favorite pass catcher last season, really. And obviously Hollywood Brown did some damage too. All of his pass catchers.
Hollywood Brown went.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hollywood Brown crushed. But But Mark Andrews was a more sort of reasonable stack.
Oh, he was. I mean, Hollywood Brown's it was a dart throw, and most of his, I think he only had four catches, and two of them were like 70-yard bombs. So that made up a big chunk of hit for touchdowns.
Absolutely. Now, Kirk Cousins, the game wasn't great because Dalvin Cook went off, but I didn't mind Kirk Cousins and Cook together in cash because I figured that team would be scoring a lot, and that would be a good combo. So if you paired up Cousins with Cook in your cash game, put, you know, Diggs, Thielen in there, or no wide receiver, you still did okay. Cousins didn't have a great game. I think he put up 17 or 18. DraftKings point was fine, but nothing special. The last guy I actually started liking a lot more as the week went on was Josh Allen. I wound up using Josh Allen in my primary lineup on DraftKings, not on Fan. I didn't make a cash lineup on FanDuel this week because of distractions with overlay. But I did use him in my DraftKings cash lineup, as you will see, for similar reasons that the line was moving up on the game, and he does a lot with his feet, and I like quarterbacks who run around. I like that. I like that floor of quarterbacks who run around a little bit. So, and the Jets secondary being so terrible, as we talked about also on the Wolfpack pod, that got me on him a little bit more. All right, scroll down to, if you look at the running back position, I think it's pretty clear cut. You know, if you look at the notes here, I send you a warning on Zeke Elliott. It's not worth paying up for him with an unknown workload. We don't know how much he was likely to play. So a good warning there. I just included him to actually include the warning in the note itself. Barkley was a good play, but I didn't make him as a core. I don't like teams playing at Dallas. Fantasy scoring is just depressed in Dallas in general. So my first core play, Christian McCaffrey, literally smoked the slate. Awesome five-star play if anybody played it. Both David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell had very good games. You know, good GPP alternative pay-up options. They wound up being as kind of we thought they might be, but they were not the automatic plays, so I had them in my mix. Nick Chubb disappointed. Dalvin Cook obviously destroyed the slate, broke it open like crazy. Dalvin Cook, a second core play. So Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, second core. Now here is a miss with Leonard Fournette. You know, underdogs, man, running backs. You've got to take them on favorite teams. You've got to take them on favorite teams. It's always risky, and it's a reminder. But he was not a core play. I liked Leonard Fournette very much. I used quite a bit of him, but he did not make my cash lineup, luckily. Moving down the list, the Kerryon Johnson inclusion was more of a warning. So if you read the actual note here, this is more of a warning about the player than it is, hey, you should play him. You see, I only gave him 3 stars. He had 100 rating. But I said, I am concerned about C.J. Anderson and looming large in the backfield. And that concern turned out to be very much correct as Anderson came in and got a ton of carries too. You know, it was like a 60-40 split. Anderson is going to be heavily involved. And I'm expecting to see C.J. Anderson on the goal line a lot this season. So, you know, beware of Kerryon Johnson because he did pop everywhere. And he was one of these preseason hype machines that I just did not buy into. So I'm glad that that worked out that way. Chris Carson, core play. It was so obvious. Bengals, terrible defense, 92.1 rating, 6,600 on FanDuel. So your three core plays this week were Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Chris Carson. You know, pretty happy with that trio. If you played them, that was the trio that won the million. So, I mean, you know, usually when you put the Millie Maker trio in your core, you have a decent shot of hitting the million. Mark Ingram is another all play for me. I love Mark Ingram this week, and he was very low owned, so that made it extra special for me. Miami terrible versus the run. Ingram did not get the kind of volume. I have to look at the actual numbers because I'm not still 100% convinced that Ingram is an everyday lock and load. What I'm looking for in my cash games, we're going to talk about this when we do our cash line. You know, let's not get into it now. All right, let's scroll down. So core plays, awesome. Mark Ingram, amazing. Almost every play worked at running back, and even some of the warnings were correct. I think the biggest miss, and we're skipping over it because I don't want to talk about it. Austin Eckler, you know, Austin Eckler was a miss in the sense that, listen, I don't think it was a miss. He didn't get a ton of carries. Okay. I thought he was going to be super chalk,
but he doesn't ever, but he's super efficient with them. And he was like that last year. I don't think the volume is going to be there like you talked about, but he's so efficient with what his touches. It's insane how efficient he is. And he was running hard. I watched that game. Yeah.
Is he like Kamara Light at this point? Like
he just runs hard. So yeah, the way they use him in those swing passes, and he gets out there with some big bullies in front of him, man. He just goes. And so he doesn't get as much work as Kamara, but at that, something we got to think about moving forward for sure. As long as I think what they talk about, Gordon might be back week six or something.
One thing I will say about Melvin Gordon, and one of the reasons why I was ripping on him in the offseason for his holdout, is because Gordon, we all are used to his big fantasy production, which he gets, but he gets most of it in the passing game. That's the dirty little secret that nobody understands. Most of Gordon's productivity happened in the kind of plays that Austin Eckler got. The Chargers run incredible screens. They're one of the best teams at it. Gordon did most of his scoring over his career in those type of plays. Before Gordon came around, Danny Woodhead was putting up massive numbers on low volume as well in this offense in the same role. Like the role hasn't changed on the Chargers for that pass catching sort of back for years. And actually, you know, it's just something to keep in mind, because that's one of the reasons I don't think Melvin Gordon is actually a great running back at all. I think his special talent has been just the Chargers offense produces points through those screenplays. So Eckler got all of that work. Jackson did come in and get some carries, but he got the ugly carries. All right. He'll probably get some goal line carries too. So he will be vulturing this guy on occasion. So be aware of Eckler, but you know, obviously he broke the slate open, and you know, you wanted to have him on your team if you're going to try to make the million. All right, let's roll down quickly through wide receiver. A couple of successes, a couple of fails. I had Amari Cooper as a 4-star all play that worked out really well. On the negative side, you know, Mike Evans kind of came out sick and he was really hobbled in that game. Obviously, Winston wasn't doing anything good, but Evans was in and out of the game. So that illness really did affect him quite a bit. So that was troubling. Odell Beckham and Julio Jones had non-distinct games. Okay. Tyreek Hill gets hurt. Can't really talk much about that. As I go down the list, you know, it's a reminder of what I was saying on the podcast, what I was saying with you on the Wolfpack show, that wide receiver is extremely volatile. It's very difficult to predict wide receiver outcomes on a week-to-week basis. They bust at a massively high rate. One guy I will point out, though, that I want to show you is if you scroll all the way down to John Brown, 4-star play. And I'm pointing him out because I love John Brown. 5,500. Salary was ridiculous. Josh Allen loves this guy. He has all of the touchdown upside. He's the best receiver on that team. And, you know, when you see a 4-star play at 5,500 on FanDuel, I mean, I would think you would take note. That was that play, right? Marvin Jones Jr. Not a lot of these plays really worked well. I'm not going to sugarcoat the wide receiver position, but I do love the Brown pick there, and I used him in my cash lineup as well. All right, scrolling down to tight end. You know, similar results to everybody else here. I've got Ingram and Henry marked as all. Both did okay. They were fine. I like George Kittle and Kelsey and Ertz a little bit less. And that was about it. I had Mark Andrews here on the list, mostly to stack up with Lamar Jackson. I hope people did it. Super cheap, min salary, both sides. But that was the main highlights. We know what happened. Evan Ingram did really well. Kittle, okay. He did okay. Travis Kelsey, you know, 10 points, not worth paying up for. The issue for me on FanDuel was the salaries were so close between like Ingram and let's say George Kittle. It was hard not to just want to pay the extra $1,000. That's the difference for me and why some of these guys are 5-stars. George Kittle like had so many, he had a touchdown called back. He could have had a massive game. All right. It was very close. And that's who I used in my cash lineup as well. The reason for it was for me, again, you're looking at Ingram at 6,400, Kittle at 73. I'm like, fuck, I can afford Kittle or Kelsey. So why wouldn't I just pay up a little bit more? Because more times than not, those guys will outscore an Evan Ingram. Is that fair? You know what I mean? Like more times than not, they'll outscore him.
So yeah. I just expect a big year out of Ingram and that crappy damn.
They were close in salary.
Yeah, like having that close. Yeah. I mean, you play either one of them.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, and on DraftKings, they were the salaries were wider spread apart, but on FanDuel, the salaries were too close, so it's like.
But then you go up to Kittle, and I'm like, well, I'll get 500 more and play Kelce.
So that's the problem, and then you're like, fuck it, I'll just put Kelce in.
Yeah, so yeah, it's tough. Yeah.
All right, so defense, real quick. You know, I got the Jets on there; they did pretty well. The Lions did really well. Reasoning being rookie quarterback playing fine by me. You know, obviously the Ravens were fine; that was the top play. Eagles completely busted. Who thought that this horrible Redskins team was going to come out and do anything against them? By the way, I hear that Geis is going to be out for a long time. So, you know, fire up.
Oh, geez.
Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, really. For next
Chris week. Thompson, yeah. Yeah. Peterson wasn't too happy being a healthy
scorer. All right. So that will do it for our Sheets reviews. No one likes to look back too much. We'll try to do this every week and have accountability for these Sheets.
Got
to
do it.
Yeah, and just see what we did wrong, try to do better.
That's right. That's all we can
every
do.
Every single week, we all try to do better. And reminder to everybody, like, read these notes, because a lot of what I'm doing in my sheet here is I'm writing a lot in the notes. Sometimes I put a player on here that is a warning.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I did it in NBA last year. Like, there might be a player on there, and the only reason he's on there is for to either fade him or don't go heavy on him. It's not that I'm like, say, plug him in.
No, somebody, a chalk player, I might put on here and just say, listen, you know, I'm a little worried about this guy. So just, you know, and here are the reasons why. But everybody else seems to like him, so I don't know if I'm right. But, you know, I'm just presenting that. And then, you know, read the note is my advice there. Read the words next to the stars.
Read the words.
All right, let's go to our cash lineups, man. Let's see what you did in cash on DraftKings.
All right. Okay. So, like I talked about in my cash video.
I mean, the first thing I'm already seeing is the same lineup entered 150 times in the same fucking contest. Yeah. Are you the guy who puts chains that knock me out of the cash line every single time?
I am. But you should not be in this massive $5 double up if you're not putting 150 in it.
I don't want to put 150.
Then don't play this contest. Well, that's right. That's my... There's plenty of single entry, like $5, single entry, 25, 10. There's so many good single entry I love. But if you're going to play massive volume, man, you have to get into some of these things. Otherwise, I'm never going to get the volume I need. So is it risky? Sure, but it's still a big enough contest. It's, what, 22,000 teams, and I'm only 150 of it? But I'm not the only one that does this. There's a lot of people that do this. So
I see it all the time. Yeah,
So keep it in mind. But again, do not play this if you're not going to put 150 teams in. I just wouldn't do it. I would stay to the single-entry ones because there's enough of them out there that if the bankroll that you're working with, that you can get good volume in all those single entries. They filled up and they put more out there. I went in on Sunday because I always enter these in early in the week, and I noticed that there was more and said, oh, sweet. So I got into those as well. So just keep looking at those lobbies, man, especially NFL. There's just so much volume out there, and they'll just keep adding contests, you know, and say they want that, you know, 80% rake or whatever it is.
Nice. All right, so let's take a look at this lineup. I see you started with Carson Wentz at the quarterback position. He was somebody we talked about a lot as a
potential
cash play, somebody you didn't need to stack.
No, and so I didn't stack him. But first, let me start off. I don't start there. Again, I started running back. So, again, I had McCaffrey and Cook. And this is where I went back and forth, too, between Carson and Fournette. I went back and forth. I should have went Carson. You know, when we talked about it before, you know, he was a home favorite. It was dumb, but this is a decision that I made. I was back and forth between those two. Cook and McCaffrey were too easy. But when I build on my cash lineup, I always start with running back. Nothing else. Get the running backs right first.
I think it's worth pointing out, this is very important. Look at the percentage ownerships on these players. This is important. Like when you say you went with Fournette, this was a decision that a lot of people were considering. Fournette was not some exclusive DFS Army special. The guy went 51%, 52% in cash games.
I think what people did was when you go down here and look at CMC at 28%, I think people put Carson down here.
Yeah, I think so too. I think actually McCaffrey was probably not as
because there was should have been. There's so many good running backs in that 6K range, and so he just missed it. But I had enough salary. I said, nope, I'm doing that. So I threw those three in there, and then that's where I go to quarterback next. And we talked about it. I went Wentz. I just felt the best price play. I talked about not having to pair him up with anybody in my cash lineup. I know we talk about correlation. I know we talk about pairing up in tournaments, but in cash lineups, you don't always have to do that. You know, because if he doesn't go off, now you're screwed out of two positions instead of one. I'm looking to get points.
I mean, he's 48% owned, and this is a great contest to show for this. He's 48% owned. So clear again, the consensus cash quarterback for week one. He was underpriced relative to the situation, to the team total, you know, 5,700 or whatever he was on DraftKings. You know, he was just underpriced for his role.
He was. So running back and quarterback were pretty simple on DraftKings. And then we go down to wide receiver here. Godwin, look at it, 50%. That was just plug him in and cash. He wasn't doing very well until he caught that last touchdown, but I still would have went back to him. And then we talked about Samuel last week. I mean, sorry, on the
getting off Curtis Samuel for Dean Westbrook.
And so I went to Westbrook, and he was 68% owned. I think what most people did was they went Westbrook and Samuel. I had some salary when I did that, so I went up to Shepard just because it was going to be a volume play. I knew he's the number one wide receiver. I didn't think he was going to crush by any means, but he was 5K, and again, he got caught six balls for 42 yards. Wasn't, you know, a world beater, but at 5K, I don't need a ton out of him. So that's where I threw Shepard in there. It was just a volume play. And then, again, tight end here, I'm just kicking myself because, you know, screamed at you guys to play him, you know, why to play him, and I freaking put Henry in here instead of Ingram. I ran Ingram and everything else, but not my main cash lineup.
I don't think it was a bad play.
You know, I don't think it was. I still, you know, this is where groupthink sometimes gets in your head, you know, where if you have a conviction on a play and one of us likes a play more than what you like, go with your gut, go with your conviction, you know, go with what you think it is, because that's what it's all coming down to. You grab all this information, you grab pieces of it, and then you have to make that decision. So when somebody asks me, well, what do you think about this lineup? Well, you've gathered all this information across everything that we have out there. And part of the process of building these lineups and cash lineups is being able to make that conviction of that play and play him. And so asking others if who I should play doesn't really help you learn that part of it, because that is a big part of building these lineups, is being able to make that decision off the data that you have. And so I don't think Henry was a bad play. Again, 10 points is fine for his price. You know, he almost hit 3X, but I just should have put Ingram in there. I just felt like it's a better play. And then
on the Wolfpack, I mean, hey, you know, hindsight, but on the Wolfpack, you were like very adamant about Ingram and why he was a great
player. Yeah, and they both worked out fine. I mean, it's just one of those things where I just would have listened to myself a little bit more and played him. And I went back and forth, but that happens.
You know what? If Henry catches a touchdown with those 4 for 60, you're a fucking hero with this lineup. So whatever.
Yeah, it's still it cashed really well. I made money in this cash lineup, even at 170.
The unfortunate difference is the correct lineup, and it's funny because I got this question a few times in Slack too. People said Fournette, Henry, or Ingram, Carson, and I said, listen, I like that whole group.
Yep.
In general.
And so we're 22 points here. If you would have put the other two in, you probably would. This would have been over 200 point cash lineup.
I mean, that was the correct version of this lineup.
Yeah,
too, which is what's fucked up. But
it's the thing is, sometimes I still stand by. I will play one cash lineup, because if you play two, right, especially in tournaments like this, I'm hedging. My ROI is going to go out the table if one's good and one's bad. I'm not going to make any money.
Just long term. Yeah, I mean it's tough. I don't mind making a second one, but
now if it's a second one, I have one main one where it's like 70%, and that one is in all my double ups and everything else. The other one that I make is strictly head to heads.
Okay.
I don't want to hedge my 50-50 play. Like, you know, especially like in a 150 like this, I don't want to put like 75 on one lineup and 75 on the other.
No, it sounds like you'd be competing with yourself in that.
Exactly. And so, I went through this, and I used to do that when I first started, and then you kind of learn as you go, and you're like, no, that ain't the way to go. Put one in there. Throw the other one in all the head-to-heads, because you're just trying to beat that one guy. So I have no problem if you play more than one cash slot in head-to-heads. That's
head-to-head plays a little bit more like a hybrid, where having a higher score gives you more benefit. Whereas a cash game, you know, you just need to be, you know, a couple of points above the mean and you'll cash everything in these double ups. You know, head-to-heads, a couple of points above the mean, you're probably still splitting your entries.
And then I just will mention defense here. If you notice my defense, I did have it against my wide receiver. I don't care. It's just a defense. I was just looking for an Eli pick six. I had the range where I couldn't go up to the Ravens.
I love your note about Giants, about Dallas defense. And all you wrote was Eli Manning.
Yeah, I did. That's it.
What do you need to know?
That's just it. I mean, I'm just looking for a pick six. And then Eli Manning's like statue back there. He doesn't move. So
I want to tear into this a little philosophically, because we're getting into player speak rather than sort of a general approach to cash games, and you'll see a little bit of this in my lineup, although mine is more of a little bit of a hybrid one. So cash game approach: lock in the points at the most stable positions, which are the running back position, right? three fucking studs with high volume guys.
I went over this in the video.
Absolutely. So I'm looking at high volume guys here. Dalvin Cook, we knew he was going to get a massive workload in a spectacular matchup. Leonard Fournette, there's no backup for Leonard Fournette, really. So big workload guy. Didn't lead to as much as we hoped, but still the approach was sound.
You wouldn't have saw that last year.
Yeah, the approach was sound. When you look at mine, you'll see Chris Carson. Same deal, ton of touches, ton of carries, good matchup, right? Christian McCaffrey, again, the top stud on the slate. Everybody, we both had a marked his score. He was clearly the top stud on the slate. High projected game, home, did well, crushes no matter what. So amazing. Now we get to the quarterback position. At quarterback, we want to hopefully pay down for a value guy that has a lot of floor. And the idea behind Carson Wentz was, hey, he was a little underpriced for the slate. Massive, massive team total, and not a whole lot of running back superstar talent on the team to absorb his, you know, passing tutties. It worked out even better. I didn't think Wentz had a lot of upside, but it worked out better that actually Washington came in competitive because he was forced to throw a little bit more. And then at the wide receiver position and at the defense position, pass catcher and defense, that's where we want to generally just hope for the best, pay down, not sort of spend up on. You're not seeing like expensive Julio Jones types in here, because you do one thing like that and he busts on you, and the bust rate is so high for wide receivers that it happens too frequently for cash games when it's over 50%.
You're just looking for volume.
And yeah, you just can't trust the volume. No, so
you're just looking for volume. Guys in this 5K range just for volume. If you think they're going to get between, you know, 7-8 targets at this price range, then they're cash plays.
And look, it didn't take much more than that. Any one of those guys could have went off for a great game. You know, Godwin, Shepard, Westbrook, they all had lots of upside, but the floor was very nice with them. Hunter Henry, same deal. Super inexpensive. Plenty of upside in that offense. Paying down, so you're not really wasting a ton of your money on a volatile position if you don't have to. And then the same deal with the defense. Just take any fucking defense. We don't want to pay all the way up. We don't want to waste our money on a high variance position. So that's what you've got there. I mean, that's kind of what I'm seeing. You know, pay for the sure thing running backs when you need to. Next week is going to be more dramatic than this. We had some value this week. There's less of that next week. But pay for your sure thing running backs and then suck it up with the rest of the lineup to make it work. And pay down a quarterback, because most of the time you can get a quarterback that gets you 20, you know, for cheaper than 7K on DraftKings. You can pop mine up now.
Yep.
All right. So this is what you're looking at is my lineup that was my primary lineup is what I'm calling it. Okay. This would have been my cash lineup probably as well, but it's my primary lineup this week on DraftKings. And I mentioned it on the thing. I got on Josh Allen late. I kind of wish I had stuck with Lamar Jackson, who was my favorite early, but you know, shit, hindsight's 20/20, right? So I got on Josh Allen late. And a lot of the reason was because I loved John Brown. You know, and loving John Brown is easy to do. So I started off the lineup. First thing I did was I start my lineup with my core three running backs. And again, I don't want to rehash that, but I just literally said, we're going to lock in our safest, high upside, massive workload running backs on the slate. Let's just get that floor going. So Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey, and Chris Carson, easy pickings. All core plays, all easy pickings. Now start to build the rest of the lineup. I knew I liked John Brown. Similar reasons we talked about on the pod. I was just looking for guys that were, you know, I have this approach where I'm thinking these chalk fucking wide receivers seem to fail so often that I was looking for wide receivers in the similar dollar categories that were not going to be chalk. Because chalk guys just fail. And I don't think there's any difference, you know, taking some of the chalk at wide receiver versus kind of paying down. Now you'll note in this lineup, I was interested in Godwin as well, but I wound up getting off of him, going all the way down. And see, this is my panic, right? We all have our shit. So I wanted to get George Kittle in there because I just felt like he could have a big game in that high projected game. So this was sort of going off script a little bit in the cash game. So I got rid of Evan Ingram / Hunter Henry.
I want to mention one thing right there as you say that. we have the same panics that you do at a point when you're making, I say panics, but the same decisions that you guys have to make. You know, that all the data is there. But when you ask these questions, I'm still making these same decisions, you know, when it comes to tight ends and wide receivers. And I might make 10 different catch lineups with different combinations and look at all of them to see what seems the safest. Because if I don't visually see it, then it's hard to like wrap it around in my head how it's going to look. So I'll make a bunch of them and then I'll look at them and say, well, that makes more sense. I'm going to go there. So anyways, I just wanted to mention that.
It's funny. A lot of times I get questions and I'm literally grappling with the exact same decision. And I don't know the answer. You know, I'm grappling with the same question.
There's no right or wrong answer. It's a decision you have to make. And it's just, as you play longer and longer, you get more comfortable in making it, but you're going to be wrong sometimes. It's just, they're plays. They still have to play. They're players, you know? So I don't really tilt, because the hard decision you should get kind of worked up about is this decision. Should I make the, you know, wide receiver tight end play? But when they go play football after that, you have no idea what they're going to do. You just kind of have to watch and enjoy it and make sure your process is right.
You hope you did the right thing. So, I mean, if you look at the same lineup and you kind of, if you swapped out Kittle for Ingram or Henry even, which I still liked, and I still think it was a fine play, you had funds to then make an adjustment at defense. The reason I actually went with Eagles is because after I made that swap, a couple swaps, there was just money left over. And so I decided I really liked the Eagles defense, whatever. You know, again, a little off script there. I thought I was getting off Ravens and that was enough getting off the chalk, but because I didn't think Eagles was going to be high owned, but they were a little bit higher owned than I like in general. And also, again, it's just a reminder that it's almost always a mistake to pay up for defense in anything outside of like a contrarian lineup. Just pay down at defense, because half the time you pay up and you get a fucking one. So what was that worth? So that's not where you're going to win or lose your cash game most of the time. So it helps. It certainly helped in the preseason with those crazy plays. But and I did end up throwing Curtis Samuel chalk in here. He was so cheap, I figured he had a nice floor. We talked about him busting all week, and of course it happened. So
yeah.
But I put him in my cash lineup more because I was going to fade him in my tournaments, and I wanted to get that FOMO out of the way. At least I got him in my cash lineup. I got him in my high dollar. This was my high dollar, my primary lineup, right? So I put this in a lot of different things, but I got him in my high dollar lineup. I got him in my small contests lineup, and you know, now I don't have to have FOMO about not using him in the 200,000, 100,000 entrant type contest. But all in all, this lineup did well. Looking back again, couple switches could have had Wentz in there. You know, could have had maybe a little something better at wide receiver. I thought Calvin Ridley did fine. For me, I was happy with him for the salary. I love John Brown. He crushed it. So all in all, I was a little nervous early with Josh Allen just looking terrible in that Jets game to start. And I was like, fuck. But I always remembered that the guy has rushing equity. He didn't even do a lot of rushing in this game, but he still got 38 yards rushing, and he got a rushing touchdown, which is like running back gold. So, you know, I'll take it. A quarterback gold, a rushing touchdown, man. I'll take it. Even though my Jets lost. Fuck the Jets. Let me tell you how much I've lost my fandom. I didn't even watch that game. Like, yeah. That was not, back in the day, I used to have the Jets game on and like Red Zone on and other, but I didn't focus on that game.
I mean, I'm a Bears fan, but if they're not like on a single game like Thursday where they're out, or that's the only game to watch, I just watch Red Zone, because as much as I'll go back and watch the games, but like live, my fandom's gone, man. It's about DFS. It's about making money, having fun. And just for me personally, it's just, that's completely out the window. You're not going to see that from me.
I hope my teams eventually make the playoffs so I can really like be excited about the team again. But during the regular season, this is work, man. So yeah, I need to see what's going on in all these games. I don't watch the game, but all right. So that's it for this look behind. How long did we go? 43 minutes, longer than I thought. All right. That's it for the look behind, look back on week one. We've still got some more week one action left tonight, two gamer. Keg and I will be back shortly to do a two game breakdown. But we think it's very important every single week. We're going to review our sheets. We're going to review our cash lineups. And hopefully the discussion, the strategy will start to seep in through some thick skulls. so people get a sense. But really, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to teach the method.
Yep.
And then once you understand the method, you can use the numbers, you can use your own sensibilities to kind of craft lineups how you want. There's no one way to skin a cat in NFL. No one hits the nuts lineup. So there's a lot of paths to victory in both cash and in tournaments. And understanding the approach is really key. So this was awesome. I like to hear your shit. I like to hear your stuff too, Keg. So that's the big deal for me. I'm like, yeah, how are you doing this? And like, how am I doing this?
Every time we do a video or any of this stuff, I get something out of it. And so yeah. I really enjoy these.
Same here. I always get something out of it. So I look forward to this stuff. And I look forward to doing this with you every Monday morning this NFL season, except for the last week of the season, because by week 17, who gives a shit? We cancel. We're canceling it for week 17.
Okay, you're calling her now. We're canceling for.
I'm calling that one now. We're okay. Going to take a break.
All right. I'll put it on the calendar.
All right. Cool. All right. We'll be back breaking down the two gamer.
Awesome. Deuces. Deuces.